Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
My fist, we fire starters. One out of a million, we'll reach those heights. Always had a feeling that I won't deny. Now what? Never been tired. Look in my eyes. I'm on the rise. Rise.
What's up, everyone? How you guys and gals doing? Harley Davidson, you scammed your way to the top. I'm telling you, you did. I'm not lying. No, you were lying to everybody. You scammed your way to the top. How you doing, Jeno?
I'm sleepy.
Yeah, you are sleepy. You like woke up 5 minutes ago.
I did.
It's like, what the heck, man? You're supposed to get ready for a show.
I kept hitting snooze.
That snooze button, I guess, is the biggest cause of people getting fired.
How am I going to get fired?
I'm just talking about all over the world, man, that snooze button.
Yeah, that snooze button causes major issues.
Okay, what do I mean about Harley Davidson scammed its way to the top? It did.
I don't know. Percentage rates.
No.
Oh.
I can tell that China Doll is already lost on this subject.
How am I lost? I was guessing.
What the hell does percentage rates have to do with the topic?
Percentage rates for Harley Davidson's monthly payment plans.
Now you guys know why she's blonde. It does not match the carpet and the drapes, but now you know why she's blonde. But anyway.
Oh my Jesus.
I'm talking about how Harley Davidson used for its benefit, which was a good marketing plan, the image of the outlaw biker to push its bikes. Now, in the early days, with the old fellers, and this really came about after World War II, everybody wanted to buy American. They didn't want to buy anything that came from Japan or Germany. So Harley Davidson was the man, if you would say.
The man.
And it followed the image of being a rebel, about being raunchous. And it actually built itself up. Come on. You're talking about people that get Harley Davidson tattoos. Can you imagine the company's, you know, Coca-Cola? Can you please get a tattoo of my product? But now, no, you got a lawyer, a Hollywoodism right there.
What happened?
What happened, man? I'm telling you.
What happened?
You have a loyal group of people that have tattooed their logo on them.
Yeah, like always. Yeah.
So what they did was they picked and cherry picked and made it into their own brand.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's screw all you people. It is. They say, ha ha, we tricked you.
And how did they say, ha ha, we tricked you?
They shoved all the people that were blue collar, hardworking scooter tramps to the side.
Yeah, they did.
And I get it. You got to run a business. I get it. But you never forget the core people that kept you in business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when, say, a scooter tramp walks into a dealership, they get pushed aside. They don't even get acknowledged.
This is true. That is 100% true.
It's all about the rubber.
I've seen that happen in two different Harley dealers.
And it's funny. Some of the times, those scooter tramps make more money than the rubbers.
Yes, they do. Because people don't know. They judge a book by its cover.
And that's exactly true. Now, 30 years ago, the salesmen were cool, by the way, 30 years ago. But now they're like.
How'd that go again?
They're stupid. They are. They're stupid.
Do you tell them, shut up, stupid?
Oh, I've told many of them to shut up, stupid. But they actually knew about the motorcycle.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's like, here's a pamphlet.
Here is what, how to explain what kind of engine and everything your bike has, because I don't know.
Now they build Disneyland bikes. What happened to the bare bones chopper? And I'm not talking about Harley Davidson. I'm talking about the, you know, the custom builders. Now they make stuff. You know what? It's funny with the one, what is it? The big wheel baggers. It's like, dude, you're not 2 years old no more. You don't need a Tonka. The hell are you trying to make a big wheel for? That is so 5 years old.
Dude, every time you say big wheel, all I'm picturing is that actual big wheel.
Well, that's what it looks like. It's like a big wheel. That's why they call it a big wheel.
That's all I could picture.
It's like, what's wrong with you? You're not two no more. You can't ride that. Oh, I'm going to take that across country. No, you're not. I'm going to spend $80,000 on that. You're stupid.
You're going to spend more than that in the long run.
But getting back to Harley Davidson, do you think that they abandoned their core base?
Yes, they did. I don't know how many times you got to walk into a Harley dealership. And they walk right past the biker and head towards the guy over there in the suit.
Now, Jason was correct, and you know this to be correct. The rub invasion of the 90s, this is when it happened. Right, it had to be right before 1994. Because remember Wildfire Harley Davidson over on North Avenue in Villa Park?
Yes.
Used to be in a hole-in-a-wall dealership.
Yeah, with like maybe five bikes out front.
Five bikes, but you walked in, you'd smell the gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
You'd smell the rubber of the tires.
Yeah.
Now it's a Disneyland across the street. It's like Mickey Mouse comes on a Harley over there. But it was the 90s where everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the president, CEO, that Al Bundy shoe salesman guy that is leading the company now, that's not even American, by the way. He came up with the idea of just putting the most expensive bikes on the floor. And that's what exactly happened during the 1990s. You were on a waiting list back then.
Sure.
And you still have idiots tattooing the logo on themselves.
And why? Why? Please answer me that. Why?
You know what?
To be honest, tell me the honest truth. Maybe it's
lost its meaning. But in the early days, hell yeah, it was a company that was standing behind you. It was American, baby. Dude, there's so many Japanese parts on them damn bikes now, it's unreal.
Do you have one?
What, a tattoo?
Harley.
Tattoo a Harley? No! I don't even wear a shirt. I always giggle when I see them. I'd have picked the rubbers out of a crowd in a heartbeat. Ah, oh, you're wearing a Harley Davidson shirt. Oh, how cute.
Aw.
I just want to make fun of them.
Aww.
You really don't see any old scooter tramps wearing any, Harley Davidson gear. They're a clothing company now. Half their business comes from clothes.
Retail sales. Yeah, and we don't mean motorcycles.
No.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's genius how they did everything to build themselves off the backs of, the blue-collar, rebel type of individual. And they said, switcheroo, screw you. That's basically what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Now they get idiots in there that don't know what a motorcycle is. You ever walk up to a parts counter in a Harley Davidson dealer, you want to strangle them. You want to punch them in the mouth. Hey, I want some bolts for a derby cover. What's a derby cover? Man, I'm going to smack the shit out of you. Let me go back there. I'll find it myself. That's how you feel.
I like when you walk up to the parts counter and they pull out that book that's about 3 inches thick. And they're like, you wanted what? flip. Flipping the pages in the book.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't think about where that's going to be in here. Hold on.
Free motorcycle with the purchase of a $45,000 t-shirt from a clothing company that sells motorcycles as a side business. That's really what it's become. Not just shirts, pants, socks, boots, underwears, tampons. Right? You do. You walk in
it. Wallets, purses, baby bottles.
I want to see. I want to see motorcycles on the sales floor. I don't want to see all the shirts. It's funny. They let you know every time I went in and bought a bike, they give you those coupons and I hand them right to you.
You're like, here. I don't want it,
sir. Don't you want a shirt? Yeah, she can go get one. I don't wear them.
And you know what's funny? All the Harley t-shirts that I have are still in my drawer with the tags on.
You don't want to wear them because you know I'll make fun of you.
I just leave them in there. I think I've worn one once.
But what do you think about a company that turns on its base?
I think they're sad people.
They're making I love Harleys.
Well, yeah.
But at the same time, they've turned on their own workers, which we're all supposed to be supporting. They turned on you. Mm-hmm. And again, a company has to make money. But at the same time, keep those that helped you get there in mind. Just like the Harley-Davidson Museum. You will not find, not even close, any exhibits on outlaw motorcycle clubs. You'll never see it. But wait a second. You're the one who took their image. But you're not going to acknowledge those that, you know, really built up your brand. I think that's disgusting, don't you?
That is sad. Especially when the MZ world is what made them who they are today, in my opinion.
I truly believe that is the case. That the motorcycle club scene is what made Harley-Davidson. Now, we can take a poll to that effect. Do you think MCs are the ones that made Harley? I think it is because Harley went and took their image. Even if you go back in time and watch some of the old documentaries about clubs, they're all sitting there and talking about, well, Harley Davidson's the best. Even though we bought the shitty motorcycles during, the 70s, the AMFers.
What? Just the way you said it.
We stuck with them.
Just the way you said it was funny.
The worst decade of motorcycles ever. I'm still going to get a Harley tattoo.
Are you?
But then come the mid-90s, they said, screw you. I don't like it. So don't you think they scammed their way to the top?
Yeah, they did.
They were acting as something they were not. Is what I believe.
Do you remember the look on my face when we went for that build thing when we did the video?
Yeah, the King of the Baggers.
Yeah, and we went to, what was it, St. Charles, right?
Mm-hmm.
St. Charles, Illinois, to go to the Harley dealer, and never been in that one, ever.
Disneyland!
And you look at it from the outside, it's ginormous. It's actually bigger.
It's a huge freaking place.
Than their original one that's here by us, right?
Uh-huh.
And we walked in, and I'm looking around, what the hell? My eyes got huge. They have a balcony. You go up on this balcony, and you look down, and it's just like bikes.
Which is cool,
but it's like, jeesh.
No, it's,
there's like thousands of them in there, and I've never seen one this big.
Well, why do you think I call them Disneyland? But I still prefer the hole in the wall Harley dealership that used to be Wildfire Harley Davidson.
Yeah, that place was cool.
And they had like three employees.
The guys that worked in there were so awesome.
They were. It was great. It was great. Let's look at some comments here. How many Harley tattoos did I actually do?
Oh,
I started refusing doing them damn things because I thought it was so stupid. I would pass them off. But yeah, we used to tattoo a lot of them.
He used to do at least two or three a day. Not going to lie.
Oh, my goodness.
It was redonkulous.
Windy City International rented a Triumph Tiger, $1,200 from Windy City. You know what? The Triumphs, you know, because they were with the Allies, Triumphs were huge too within the scene back in the day. You know, you had Harleys, you had Triumphs, you know, you don't know what, you know, Indian with their million different owners, but now they're giving Harley Davidson a run for their damn money right now.
It's true enough.
So if you had a message for Al Bundy, the shoe salesman, who is leading the Harley Davidson Motor Company right now, what would it be? What would you want to say to him?
More bikes, better staff, and less apparel.
Wow, she was quick. Say that again.
More bikes, better staff, and less apparel.
I think that is a good plan right there.
Well, because that's what I'm saying. When you go, when we went into the St. Charles location, and it was Bikes Haven and this tiny section for apparel. For as big,
you know what? That was a true. It was real tiny. Then.
For as big as that location was or is, their section for apparel and stuff was like minuscule.
Mm-hmm.
But you go into Woodstock or you go into Kegel, right? Majority of it is
Kegel is mostly a freaking
Kegel. You're lucky to see maybe 20, 25 bikes, and the rest of the store is apparel.
Plus, they got a restaurant in there
and a restaurant, yeah,
where all the rubbers gather every morning.
They do. Oh, so cute, isn't it?
They gather there every morning. It's funnier than hell.
Or you see the guys hanging at the counter drinking coffee with the parts guys. Yeah, those were cute. You know, but it's like if it was more like going to the one in St. Charles where it's like Bike Haven, I think they'd be better. And the staff over at that location were phenomenal, too.
Yeah, they were phenomenal. You know, not all Harley salesmen are bad. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is.
But you got to know who you're playing. Who.
Well, you got to treat every customer the same.
Don't
I think.
Walk past the biker to go to. Dude that just walked up in the, you know, $50 jogger with his.
What are you talking about? $100 jogger now with the Nikes, Adidas.
With the Nikes and Adidas outfit going on, or the dude in the gray sweatpants. I don't know, whatever. But it's like, head over to the dirty biker. He's going to probably walk out of there buying one compared to, you know, Joe Schmo. Wearing his
I don't know
dress pants or golf shirt.
The nerve that Harley Davidson had after messing around with the sporty, you need a kick in the balls. Okay, they just do stuff that is stupid. They don't think it through. But I do. I do get. You know what? I love Harleys, but I love all bikes. But I'm one of the guys that know. Well, Harley Davidson don't care about me. So, you know, yeah, I love its products and stuff like that, but I'm not going to sit there rah-rah for them.
No, you're not.
Do you ever, you run into them guys too. Well, I'm not riding nothing other than a Harley. I'll walk before I ride something else. Well, you got a long ass walk, man. You better get going, Jack.
You're going to be taking a while getting there.
And that's the problem is they don't see it as I do where Harley Davidson just used your ass. They use the image to get ahead.
Well, and there's been a few Hondas through this area, through our garage, you know, and they ain't nothing wrong with them.
Oh, Jason, man, he brought up an old school dealership right there. McHenry Harley Davidson, man. Oh, my goodness. You know, those were the freaking dealerships. But now when you walk into one, you don't have, I guess if you're older and you know what it used to be like, it's different for kids that walk into them now.
Mm-hmm.
they don't know the old hole in the wall ones.
No.
They don't know what the experience was like walking into a Harley Davidson that there was only three people that worked there. And two of them were, you know, smoking at the counter, telling you, you know, you're a screwball and, you know, the going off on you if you screwed around. Now it's, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can I help you? Can I get your shirt? Well, look at this. Look at this nice mother. No, the old salesmen were they grungy looking and they were really into the play. You know,
you walk in and they're like, what do you want?
The hell you want? I'm busy here.
As they're sitting there just smoking. Looking at an Easy Rider magazine or something.
No, they actually, in some of the dealerships, I know Wildfire did, they used to have the centerfolds
hanging up on the walls.
On the wall.
Yeah. They did. I remember.
Now you got too many damn prudes, man. They don't want to see titties.
Now it's just neon Harley signs.
Yeah, that's about it.
It's like all you see. Few things of parts here and there, you know.
Derek, when I was a teenager, the local Harley dealership has a hole in the wall garage. Now it's on the outskirts and is now literally a clothing store. $150. Oh my god, no way.
Sure.
Well, yeah, I believe it. By the way, I'm having a members only tonight at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're just gonna hang out. Me and my members of the Madhouse crew at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Steve Easy, you're right. It's about the numbers. Mike, Harley-Davidson executives just want profits for their shareholders. Not the best model for long-term survival. Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Very true. So let me know. Do you guys think Harley-Davidson scammed its way to the top? I truly believe they did. I think they pulled a rope-a-dope on everybody. Mm-hmm. What do we got going on in the news today?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. Well, we've got a couple different things going on. Just a couple.
Sounds like a 90-year-old old lady the way she just said that.
An Indiana ex-con took concealed carry to a whole new level when the cops found he was stashing a gun in his butt.
His butt?
In his, well, anal cavity during a traffic stop.
Dude, that's so funny. Anal cavity.
Christopher Boyd, 32, was riding in a vehicle.
You got that right, Engine. You remember when people weren't like that? But now, oh my God. Go ahead.
Christopher Boyd, 32, was riding in a vehicle that was pulled over at 2 a.m. on Monday in Evansville because its license plate was obscured. When the cops patted down Boyd, they found a small bag with multiple pills in his right sock, which the suspect reportedly claimed were Percocets.
Percocets, really? Those are like TikToks to you, aren't they?
TikToks.
Yeah, whatever. Same thing.
Yeah. Which he claims he scored from his Aunt Trish to deal with pain of having a bullet lodged in his spine. Well, maybe it's because you had a gun in your butthole.
You imagine that thing going off, man. You're sitting there driving by. Back. Next thing you know, shoot yourself in the ass.
But get this. Boyd claimed he was unable because they were searching him. That he was unable to spread his legs due to his spinal injury. That's because he had something in his butthole. After being taken into custody.
I'm surprised they didn't buy that because, you know, they are cops and stupid.
After being taken into custody, he was walking with a limp and appeared to be clenching his butt.
Yes, this is what China Dow finds on Motorcycle Madhouse Morning Mayhem. Yes, and you're right, Scottish. Wow, talk about concealed carry.
But
was it loaded? It was a loaded one, too, right?
The body scan revealed a large object in his groin area. They strip searched and revealed that he had a Smith & Wesson bodyguard stuffed in his rectum. The Bodyguard is a 380 caliber gun that weighs less than...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A pound, but it is 5 inches in length.
Well, you can tell. Maybe he was just, you know, doing one of them things and sex in the ER. I don't know.
So it was really unclear from the police report if the gun was loaded, but they do claim that it was lodged in his anus and it's
anal cavity, please.
Anal cavity.
Can you say that? Anal cavity?
Anal cavity. He had been previously convicted of attempted murder, burglary, domestic battery, and was banned from carrying guns. So that explains why he put it in his anal cavity.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh,
let's hide it. Let's hide it.
Over out of the Carroll Times Herald, Harley Davidson of Carroll donates $15,000 to St. Anthony Regional Cancer Center. Rock and roll. See, now this is the stuff I like. This is the stuff I like. Lots of money going out there for charities. And, you know, the popo, they don't like us. They don't like us. But and then they say, well, you know, that Toys for Tots thing that really, really upsets me when they say, well, clubs put that on as a front to their criminal activities. They're boneheads, them people. They're boneheads. This is what it's about right here. This is what it's about. And you know what? I'm still serious, man. If you look at the ladies of our time, they are nothing like the younger kids, man. The younger kids have some hot ass women. Look at what we get. It's a sad state of affairs.
Rude.
It is. Look what we get. Thanks to Maryland Rucci Golf Tournament. The golf. Okay? Golf. The fuzzy hats.
Well, you know, when the guy walks in wearing the, you know, work pants or dress pants and a polo with the little dude on it. he'll get approached before you.
Harley Davidson of Carroll has donated $15,000 to the St. Anthony Regional Cancer Center. Quote, it's always a good thing to raise the money and have it go to something that touches lives. Terry Ricci of the co-owner said to have a cancer center like this is amazing. Finishing up its fourth year, the golf tournament was named after Ricci's mother, who passed away from cancer in 2019. When it comes to fundraising, she said it's often easier for others to donate when they know it will help someone else during a difficult time period. That, to me, is bigger objective to get in the donation. It's how to go about being used. It's really great to be supported locally by so many people. Everyone is affected by cancer, which is very true, whether it's you, a loved one, friend, coworker, and what we have now is absolutely beautiful, beautiful stuff right there. That's Harley Davidson out of Carroll. They donated 15 G's to St. Anthony's Regional Center.
Aww.
That's beautiful.
That's so cute.
But don't you hate that when law enforcement go and say, hey, that's the only reason they're doing Toys for Tots is that they're trying to cover up for criminal activities.
Yeah, that's stupid. That is so not the reason. The reason is for the kids.
You're damn right. Kids or those in need.
People are ignorant when they say that kind of stuff.
You got that right, man. You got that right. What do you got?
A jealous Florida woman has been arrested for allegedly, plunging needles intended for her dog's rabies vaccines into her boyfriend's eyes after accusing him of looking at other women.
Oh! Oh!
Sandra Jamez, 44, from Miami, and her live-in boyfriend of 8 years have been in an ongoing argument because the man's wandering eyes on Saturday.
I like that engine. Engine to be cap. He's one of my, he's awesome. I love him. Ah, did they wear a badge to cover up their criminal activity?
Go figure. When things escalated into violence, when the pair arrived at their home, Jemez allegedly seized her chance to teach her boyfriend a painful lesson.
I don't know. Didn't they say that needles in the eyes actually don't hurt? That's what, you know, on House MD, man, they did that thing with the needle in the eye. It didn't hurt, I don't think.
I don't know.
You don't got a nerve out, Deans, but go ahead.
When the unsuspected man laid down on the couch, his girlfriend...
Who's just going to lay there and let somebody put a needle in
her
eye?
No, he didn't know that it was coming. His girlfriend jumped on top of him with two rabies needles that were for their dogs, jabbed them into his eyelids.
Oh!
The victim called the police and was taken to Jackson Memorial Hospital.
Dude, she's sadistic.
Where he met with the detectives.
Oh. Ow. Man, she mean.
Dude.
She was later arrested that night.
You think?
When responding police officers found her sleeping in her car outside the house. Without batting an eye, the 44-year-old suspect allegedly claimed that her boyfriend's ocular injury was somehow self-inflicted.
Ocular.
So she was booked on a felony aggravated battery, but she's since bonded out and was ordered to be held on house arrest.
Ocular injury. Yeah, Rich is saying, why are you laughing, China? That's nasty.
She stabs him in the eyes because he was checking out other chicks. Dude, that's going a bit far.
You think? But you're sitting over here laughing. Maybe I should do that to Hollywood.
I mean, it's kind of funny because of the fact that somebody would choose to go the distance like that.
Go the distance like that? Really?
That's just stupid.
Yeah, but you're laughing about it. You're sitting here, man, maybe I should try that on Hollywood.
I don't have any needles like that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. This is a very interesting thing out of Box 6 Milwaukee. Harley Davidson's future. And this is something to talk about here. How to sell bikes to the next generation. Wasn't I arguing with Abate about how they're going to get the next generation to join their organization? This has to do with Harley Davidson trying to sell
and
it.
And they never did answer that, really.
They never did.
Because I asked it like 6 times in the chat during that show.
And they wouldn't. You know what? I honestly think they don't know how to. I honestly think, and that's a tough question for people, is how to get the next generation involved. Harley Davidson is an American icon built on history. Yeah, the history of the backs on the backs of us. As you know, this was during the celebration of 120. The challenge is how to sell bikes to the next generation, and it's one Harley Davidson is still working on. I guess motorcycle sales were down 12%, but overall Harley revenues were up 21%. That's because he's using the bait and switch tactic of let's just sell the more expensive bikes. One expert said he thinks the key to Harley's future might not include a throttle. What? Stupid. It's the best mental health treatment that I've gotten is with a Harley. The couple, he loves it, blah, blah, blah. But what do you think? How do you think that it's good to see that it even got a picture of their clothing store right there?
With their 500 shirts on the wall.
500 shirts on the wall.
Pick a square.
You know, they credited Harley for its approach to an e-bike. No, you know what? It's funny. You even got out of New Jersey or Connecticut, whatever, where they're rescinding all this EV stuff because they know it's falling flat on their place. Nobody wants to buy an electric vehicle. And nobody sure to hell wants to buy a damn freaking electric motorcycle. It's like one of them Tonkas you get out of Walmart, you know, for the kids, you put a battery in. I don't want one of them.
I want one.
I want one that smells like gasoline.
I want a pow-pow power wheel.
You want a power wheel?
Come on, we used to have that one that was a Jeep in the garage. For yeah, the and
you used to ride around in the thing.
I did. I fit perfect.
But nobody wants that electric crap anymore. They see it as a scam. I do not think that's the way forward for Harley, and that's why they splintered the company, and now LiveWire its own damn company. I don't think, you know what? I think they're betting on a segment of the population, which really isn't that big, and they're trying to put that over everybody as far as that electric vehicle crap. You know, hybrids are, you know what, actually the way to go, I think, if you're going to get into that kind of stuff. If you don't want straight engine or straight gas, you just go get a hybrid. But Harley has a big, big challenge in getting people that are younger over to it, because the crotch rockets are the ones that are cornering that market. What?
Your two main nemesis, Abe Bates and Howard Stern.
Who said that?
Steve.
Steve. They're my nemesis. They are. I hate Howard Stern, but I'm not in for Abe Bates. I ain't. Mm-mm. I'm just not.
You weren't before. You weren't before you did the show, and it went all downhill during the show. It just made it worse for them.
Well, that's something, you know, me and the members can talk about tonight. Is that point? But at the same time, and I think Engine's correct on this one. Do you think electric vehicles are all about control? They are trying to push that stuff.
Well, with electric vehicles, they're basically controlling how far you can travel.
Wow. Yes.
Because it can only go so many miles before it's got to be fully recharged again. And if you think about it, where are you going to charge it? Nobody's got charging stations.
No, they don't got the infrastructure for it.
No. And I've already found out that our company, who's got, they've got 50 plus stores and growing. The owner of that company says he will never get charging stations.
It's not
because it's going to cost more in your electric bill than it's going to cost to like put the charging ports in.
Bill asks, what do you think about bikes that are automatic shifting? You know what, for my age group, I think it's ludicrous, but they have to do something to get younger ones involved. That's just like we were talking about semis yesterday. They're mostly automatic now. It's like, dude, what a switch. So is it going to have to be that type of deal where you have to make some of these bikes automatic to get kids to actually get into them that don't have any coordination like China now?
So I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Too many moving parts.
Is it me or was it the teacher?
It was you.
It was the teacher.
Yeah, right.
It was you.
But do you think that could be a...
Maybe they're doing it to get younger generation involved because of the fact that if you look around, how many of the kids that are under the age of 30 know how to drive stick shift?
I don't think many at all.
I mean, for real. Did you know I know a couple people that have stick shift vehicles just because of the fact they know no kids can steal it?
You know what? That's a very interesting point right there.
I'm serious. We were talking about it with customers last night. I was. And a lot of five people that came in said that they specifically own a stick shift. One, because it's better on gas.
Mm.
And two, they ain't going to find it stolen out of their driveway. Because the kids...
That's an anti-theft device at that point.
It's stick shift because these kids don't know how to drive it. They don't. They're under the age of 30. They don't know how to drive stick.
You know, if you ask me what is going to help Harley Davidson bring in the younger generation, I think they need to come up with some kind of marketing plan where they show men teaching kids how to work on motorcycles. I think that'd be a better marketing plan than ever to get younger kids.
All right, here's what I'm envisioning right now for Harley. here's what I'm envisioning. Because we all know in our cars, you have the older cars have the stick to change gears up on the steering wheel, right?
Right.
Then in the newer cars, you know, you got it they right got here these, in the center.
No, the newer cars, they got dials.
Okay, but here's what I'm envisioning. I think they need to do it on Harleys where it's like up by the handlebar.
What are you, stupid?
Come on, it'd be funny.
No, you're over here being actual serious because it'll help you.
It'd be funny. No, I like the gear shifters that are on, you know, in between the seats there. But I'm not like your truck makes me mental. No.
Why are you picking on my Silverado, man?
Because I'm so used to doing the gear shift and on the, you know, in, yeah, on my right hand side between the seats, not on the steering wheel. But can you imagine right there on the front of the Harley?
That was totally stupid.
I think it'd be funny.
It was totally stupid.
It'd be funny. I'm just saying.
But what I think is even more stupid is the newer cars where all it is a dial.
Yeah, no thanks. That's too
much. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
That's too much.
I'm telling you, man. But don't you think that if Harley did a marketing campaign where it's showing commercials of a biker showing the kid how to work on the bike, I think that would, because that really, if you think about it, the garage days were the best days around.
Well,
where you just sit there, work on your bike with your buddies, drink a beer, and tell stories.
Well, how many people out there still bring their kids or spouses in the garage when they're working on their bikes?
Well, that's a no allowed zone with you.
But when I go,
because you'll break something.
No, I don't. I go out there when you're out there. God.
Yeah, but you're not allowed out there by yourself. That's
no,
a no-go
no,
zone.
No, I'm not. I'm so not. No.
You're not allowed in my garage by yourself.
Nope, that's why I don't have access to it. You have the door locked on the side, and you take the stupid garage door opener with you.
They think you're bullshit.
Literally have absolutely no access to that garage unless you're home.
She ain't lying either.
No, because you have.
Do you guys do that with your old ladies, where you don't want them in your garage?
You have a freaking master lock on the side of the garage, so I can't get in the side door. And you do. Hanging from your visor is the garage door opener. I can't get in there unless your truck is here. And I don't have the key to the master lock.
Nope.
I can't. And he's like, yeah, if you need the dolly, it's in the garage. How am I supposed to get it? It's all locked up. It's like Fort Knox. I can't get in to get it. So what do I got to use? The broke ass one in the basement.
Well, that's a good statement right there, Dirty Knobs. What percentage of the population works on their stuff anymore? 5%, maybe, he says.
I'd say less than 25%.
A lot of people don't work on their own stuff anymore. And at the same time, can you say you blame them because of all the electronics now? The electronics are a bitch right now, man.
I don't even know how some of these newer bikes people can even do it. It's not like the older bikes.
It's not only bikes, but cars.
Cars, too. Yeah. It's hard.
It's funny, at my shop, a Tesla comes in, we can only work on the fucking tires. Has anybody actually looked under the hood of a Tesla? It is like, dude, no wonder you need all kinds of certifications to work on this damn thing. You can't work on it unless you know how to deal with all the electricity.
So I take it they have to bring theirs back to the
dealership. It has to go to the dealership. We'll put brakes on or something. But other than that, man, you're shit out of luck with us. And a lot of cars are becoming that way. And Harley's no different. They're making it to where you actually have to take it to the damn dealership, where you can't even do basics on that shit anymore. And is that a good business plan? I guess. But at the same time, it's killing you because you don't got that garage feeling where you walk in there with your buddies or your kid and teach them how to work on a motorcycle.
Mm-mm. You used to see it all the time, but not anymore.
Terry, that's an awesome idea, having family daddy showing his boy how to wrench on his bike. You're damn right, man. That would be a great marketing campaign
And start young when they're riding, like, you know, the BMXs or whatever.
Sit in there, take their BMX into the garage, and hey, this is how you change the chain, how you change your brakes,
how you put air in your tire. Start with something simple, like how to do maintenance on their BMX or their mountain bike or their mongoose or whatever the hell their big deal on bikes are now.
Mm.
That's where it needs to start. Show your kid how to repair what they have.
Have a marketing campaign that shows the history of what Harley Davidson actually was like. It was about the camaraderie. It was about the sitting around, and that centerpiece was the motorcycle of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do that kind of stuff anymore. It's all about the dollar. Companies don't want people that work on their own things. That's why there is a right to repair bill being pushed. This is true. This is true. They do. You know what? They, especially during the, and you've seen how bad it got when the UAW went on strike. You could not get any parts whatsoever for cars. You couldn't. It was hard as hell to get them. It was like back ordered for months. But that's the direction that we're going now, is where you got to take it to a dealership to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think a lot of independent shops are dying off, not only in motorcycles, but as far as cars too.
Well, a lot of dealerships are like, you know, they tell people, especially younger kids, like our daughter, for example, but she's smarter than that because she, you know, hung around the auto shop when we had the auto shop. But they're like, well, yeah, since you are getting this from us, all your repairs, because she had a warranty.
Well, yeah, all the warranty stuff has to be done through the dealership.
And now she thinks that she, you know, it's like you sit there and you tell a kid that doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means oil changes, brakes, tires, da 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 da. And yeah, you're going to be paying more than you normally would, like at a mom and pop joint, to get your oil change and all that, because the dealerships charge more.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're smart, Cole, most vehicles don't even come with warranties anymore.
And Mike's correct. It cost him $14.50 for oil and a filter for a Yamaha, and his labor's free. How much is it to an HD oil change? And you know what? Some of the dealerships around here, you can only buy a maximum of 5 oil filters.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can buy. They won't sell you more than 5 oil filters at some of these. I know Woodstock's like that, because they don't want you working on your bike or somebody else's bike.
Yep.
They want it brought to them. And what's even worse is they don't have techs that know how to work on shit. Come on. How many times did I have to bring the freaking fat boy back for
that
cam tensioner crap they put on?
Four times. And the first time was the very first day it came to the house. Bring it back.
Because they had that damn warranty shit in place where you had to bring it to them or they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't cover your warranty.
Mm-mm.
And I think as soon as Harley really got hit with that one lawsuit from the, I think it was the FTC, where they were claiming they weren't going to warranty it if it was under, it was the tuners, I think it was. Where if you didn't have their tuner and they didn't tune it, they wouldn't honor any of your warranty stuff. That's just like the aftermarket pipes and stuff like that. But a lot of that's being called out, thankfully. But, you know, the sad part is, on the other hand, you got a lot of independent shops that ain't worth a shit anymore either. You know, everybody used to say, hey, you know, bring it to an independent shop. But at the same time, a lot of the old fellers ain't there anymore.
It's true.
You got these hacks out there that really don't know what the hell they're doing on a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Let's see here. If you change your oil yourself, it's going to cost $50 on a Sportster. My power sports dealer raised the price of a Fram from 8 to 12. I searched for the part and found the Fram at Walmart for $4.11. You know, Fram ain't what they used to be either. Damn them oil filters. A lot of parts ain't like they used to be.
Well, remember when we were looking for one?
For mine.
At Walmart.
Yeah.
And it's like, there were none.
Then I had to go to Farm and Fleet to get one.
Mm-hmm. And it was twice as much.
It was twice as much, but it was quadruple what the Harley dealer wanted.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, all I want is a fucking oil filter.
Mm-hmm. It was expensive.
It was. But now they make it so hard on you to do any type of maintenance on a brand. That's why, you know, I got the older bikes. You know, I love my Evo because you can do anything on that damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you start getting in the 2020s and up, it's like, screw you. I don't even want to attempt to work on it. Because you don't know what the hell you're going to do. Screw yourself up with the electronics.
And then you'll have extra parts.
Yeah, you have extra parts at that point.
Because you're going to be like, I don't know where this went. Did this even come off this bike?
Your
handlebars are still on, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't taken those off yet.
$100 just for an AMSOIL oil change kit for a V-twin. Yeah, a lot of stuff is getting a lot of... it's going up there in price.
Uh-huh.
It is. It really is getting up there. KMP. I love KMP. My dealership is $89 for a full synthetic oil change, chain adjustment, and cleaning, and the bike gets hand washed before returning on most non-Harleys. Well, I guess they're kicking ass there, man, for an $89 one.
For non-Harleys.
Rock on.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting. Hmm. Mike says HD got fined like $16 million. Yeah, I remember that for the aftermarket tuners that don't meet EPA. That's why HD only a warranty approved Screaming Eagle tuners that can pass emissions. You know what? I think there is a lot more to that deal than meets the eyes. Use Valvoline for my Gold Wings and HD. Rock and roll, man. But things are just changing now. What do you think we're going to be like in 20 years when we're old and decrepit? What people are going to be driving and riding? That's the question. Because you have to say to yourself, okay, what else can you actually change on a motorcycle now? You got all the electronic gadgets and all that.
I don't know.
What else is going to be there?
They're making it harder and harder to where you have to depend on somebody else to do it and can't do it yourself. Because who's going to, I mean, if a lot of it has to do with electrics, then you're going to need like the computer to hook it up.
Oh, you should see it at the shop, all the electronic crap we have.
I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous because who's got the money to go out and buy the computer, that said computer that you got to hook the bike up to or hook your car up to? Nobody's got the money for that.
No.
And hooking them up to the ones, you know, the little handhelds that people get like for cars and stuff, those don't always, they're not 100% effective because they don't always pull every code.
No. And well, that's another thing that a lot of people don't understand is, yeah, I can go get an OBD2, you know, tool
off Amazon
and plug it in. It'll give me a code. But half the time, that's not what's going on.
Right.
You know, people, it's funny. They'll just take it to a car repair shop. Yeah, this code came out. Can you replace that when it has nothing to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the one thing that really upset me when I bought the CVO was. What was it? 4 months later, somebody came in and gave you my tuner that they just had in a closet.
Yep.
You're going to sell that, you know, sell the bike and how much it cost and not have the tuner in it.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get me to come back and pay more. Cause I think you got to pay like $600 and it stays at the dealership, the tune your bike.
Mm-hmm.
That pissed me off beyond belief. It really did. It pissed me off.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this? And then I brought it home. I go, here, guy from Harley dropped this off.
At least they came to me and didn't say, hey, can you come in?
Yeah, luckily he visits the gas station, so he could drop it off there.
And you know what? What's it called? I just seen that, and I think this is true. What Bill said, 20 years bikes will fly with hover power. I think it's getting there already.
They're working on it. Lots of places, lots of countries.
You know what? That'd be very interesting to talk about tomorrow. Is these type of different vehicles that are probably going to end up flying? It's going to start being like Back to the Future and stuff. Would you ever feel comfortable in one of them?
No. I don't like going on airplanes. So, no. No.
You don't think it would be cool flying a motorcycle?
No. I'd be looking down going, man, that fall's going to really hurt. You think it's bad when you got two wheels on the ground. You up in the air and you fall?
Well, that hurts. You
go
splat.
That's a long way down.
You go splat.
No thanks.
No thanks, huh?
No,
I like to see him come up with a Tron bike.
Jason, it would be very interesting when start seeing packs of flying motorcycles. It's the geese. They're flying south. No,
that's just a motorcycle.
It's that club.
Yeah, Evel Knievel tried it. It didn't work. they already have. I've seen airbags on people that have riding gear. They actually have that stuff now.
Yeah, and their jackets and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, I've seen it,
Rebecca. But the issues with most electronics is we don't have the grid system, and power goes to support new cars. She's right on that. We don't got the infrastructure for all this electronic vehicle stuff. We do not. You know, so how you think that's going to take off? I think if you're going to get an electric vehicle, you got to live in a city. That's the only plausible way to ride one of them things. You don't have to go far. You're not going to put on 200 miles. No, you'll go, or, you know, probably, you know, you'll go 25, 30 miles on a charge. And then you'll take it home, recharge it. That's what those things are made for, is inner city stuff. I truly believe that. And the way they're trying to push that stuff on everybody as a whole, it's just not going to work out, because you don't have the infrastructure. And who wants to sit for 8 hours for your car to freaking charge?
Steve Easy, imagine the club names for a flying bike.
Oh, that would be funny.
Hey, want to be part of the Flying Dragons?
And Beezer's right. The fall doesn't hurt, China Doll. It's the sudden stop.
Hey, I'm looking out for people to be in my new club. It's called the Flying Dragons. Just wait until you see what your nickname's going to be.
Now, DJD, he says the focus on performance is a great idea. Harley is a slow, weak bike out of the store. I don't know. You got the 117s now. They're throwing in the bigger engines and stuff like that. But at the same time, you have to say, okay, performance. Do I need a 117 to cruise coast to coast? You know, you got to bring in the factors of how much fuel, maintenance, and all that stuff that's going to be on a bigger engine. That's just like my 110. And it's got, I don't know, I think it's stage 2 or 3 on there. That shit's like, it gulps gas. You know, so for the speed and the performance, is it worth what I'm actually using it for? You know.
Is it?
I don't know, man. It's not a long distance bike because of the money. And that thing's been tuned to the hilt. So that's always going to be the great debate, if performance on a Harley is even worth it, to me anyway. Rich, my Harley has plenty of power for me. I'm not interested in riding like a hooligan anymore. I need my Harley to perform like a crotch rocket and ride like a caddy. Well, then it's like, where are you going to find that mix in one? I don't think Harleys were made for speed.
Mm-mm. They're made for comfort.
Basically comfort, yeah.
Most of them.
You know, they're road bikes. They're not, you know, performance type of, you know, deals. Even though that they are trying, you know, to put out some good performance bikes. I don't know. Let me know what you guys and gals think about that. If you're a member, I'm going to be on at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on Insane Throttle. We'll have a good question and answer or just kickback session right now. But everybody else, if you haven't joined the members only, you can right here on YouTube or Spotify, baby. You can join. Anyway, we'll catch you tomorrow. Rock
on. And that's it for a Motorcycle Madhouse Morning Mayhem. Don't forget to visit us on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and all major podcast platforms for all the replays of Motorcycle Madhouse shows. Don't